And heading to SoCal, talk some Chargers, some Justin Herbert, USC, UCLA football. We've got the right guy. He's the founder of the LA Football Network. On Twitter, try LAFB Network. His handle is at Ryan Dyrud, LAFB. Spell it D-Y-R-U-D, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Let's bring Ryan in. Ryan. Appreciate the time. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks so much for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. And, you know, life's good. Just cooling temperatures down here in SoCal and Los Angeles. So can't complain. Everything's good. And it's a lot of fun around LA football here as well.
Yeah, sure. So your first time guest here, a little background. Where exactly do you hail from? And kind of what was the inspiration to form this all-encompassing LA Football Network?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the question. You know, I actually grew up in Denver, Colorado, but I've been in LA for about 13 years now and, you know, started to kind of get into media, doing some writing for some specific sites. And then the Rams and Chargers moved up here to LA, and there just, in my opinion, just wasn't great coverage of them. You know, it was a new town or a new teams, I guess, but, you know, it's a Lakers town, it's a Dodgers town. And I thought the coverage of the teams wasn't that great. So I decided to start a network that was solely dedicated to football here. And obviously we include the Trojans and Bruins in that as well. So, you know, we have dedicated shows to every team, and then my show specifically covers all four, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's been cool seeing the response of the fans here. And as football grows in this city, it's becoming you know, more and more popular, and obviously with the teams doing well, that certainly helps. So it's been a lot of fun though.
You know, obviously I'm up here in Duckland, and that Charger quarterback and the Bruins head coach, pretty popular in these parts. So I want to get to April 23rd, 2000, the NFL draft. A month earlier, Philip Rivers had signed with the Colts. So when Justin Herbert went 6th to L.A., and definitely incorporate your read as well, what was the buzz about the franchise rolling the dice and taking Justin Herbert?
Well, to be honest with you, the overall buzz or the overall opinion was not great, I would say. I think a lot of people were more leaning towards either, you know, trading back for, perhaps and taking Jordan Love or trying to get Tua Tagovailoa, who went the pick before. That was kind of the temperature meter of who the fans here wanted. I, not to my horn, I was big on Justin Herbert, obviously covering Pac-12 football with UCLA and USC. I know how great Herbert was up there with you guys at Oregon, just how smart he was, what a great teammate he was, the cerebral. I mean, I don't need to tell you, you guys know. But so I was excited by the pick, but overall I think a lot of people were not super excited about it. And then, you know, the whole offseason happened with COVID, and Tyrod Taylor was the unquestioned starter, so there was concern there, like how can you not beat out Tyrod Taylor? And then comes in week two against Kansas City, and the rest is history. And now I think he's probably the biggest star out here. I mean, I'll tell you what, the Chargers are gaining steam out here. I mean, you have Matthew Stafford, who's really popular. You have obviously LeBron James, the Lakers. You have, you know, Mookie Betts, the Dodgers. Justin Herbert right now, man, is right up there, that echelon around the excitement in this town. So it's been fun to see that transition from concern to just elation and just absolute love for the guy.
Yeah, he'll win you over pretty quickly. And again, I speak from experience. Talking Chargers right now with Ryan Dyrud, whose podcast is part of the Believe Podcast Network. I want to get to Sunday, that game against Cleveland. I mean, the shootout beyond the numbers. You know, the new coach, Brandon Staley, making those bold calls, going on multiple fourth downs. Ryan, what does that say about his belief in Herbert and this offense, especially in contrast to the last regime, which a little more tentative?
Yeah, it's been so fun to watch Brandon Staley, who I was fortunate enough to cover with even last year because he was the Rams defensive coordinator, and then we're able to keep him right here in LA moving over to the Chargers. But he just coaches with the confidence, and you know, he trusts his guys, and they put these installs all week long, and then Joe Lombardi, obviously offensive coordinator, and they know going into the game what they're comfortable with. And it's not that guessing game on the sidelines. Well, is this, you know, a situation? He says, hey, we practiced this all week. These are plays that we feel comfortable with no matter where we are on the field, and we're going to go out and execute. And he has the faith that they'll do that. And obviously it's worked out. You know, we'll see if the conversation shifts, if this happens a few times later in the season and they don't convert these fourth downs. But so far it's worked out, and it's been, you know, really fun to see what they do. And, you know, he says over and over again in his press conferences that in order to feel confident going and taking these risks that they're doing, you have to have the playmakers to do it. And he says over and over that Justin Herbert's a superstar in this league, and he probably wouldn't be as confident doing this had they had another quarterback under center. But with 10 back there, you know, we saw last week on the 20-yard line going for it on fourth down and convert and ends up being a big driver. They get points, so it's worked out. But it really boils down to having confidence in your preparation during practice with him and Joe Lombardi, and then also in your superstars being the execute, and so far they have, which has been a lot of fun, and it's won them three games doing it, so it's worked out good.
Yeah, the difference between going for it on fourth and two inside your own 30 and making it makes you bold. Missing it makes people want you to get another job.
Yes, exactly.
Ryan, in front of Justin, that line, I mean, they've really put it together. They took Rashawn Slater from Northwestern in the first round this year. They signed, you know, the Packers stud center, Corey Linsley. They brought in some veterans. They've got another free agent, Matt Filer from the Steelers. What about the work they did pretty quickly putting this group together and how they're playing?
It was exciting to see them, you know, really dedicate fixing the offensive line, because it's been an issue for many, many years now, you know, dating back to Philip Rivers, unfortunately. But, you know, they went all in on a bunch of guys, and the biggest thought for all of us covering the team was, yeah, this looks great on paper, but it's going to take time to get that cohesion, get the continuity. You know, they bring down a former Frank Smith, who was a tight end coach with the Raiders, to come down and coach the offensive line, who had experience doing it in the past, but not over the last couple seasons. So there was like, you know what, there was going to be some growing pains. And to see them, you know, really take off early on has been, you know, a testament to, you know, A, the coaching, A, the buy-in from the players, and then B, his execution. I mean, Rashawn Slater right now is grading out higher than even Tristan Wirfs was last year, who was, you know, the phenom rookie tackle taken by the Buccaneers, so that's certainly been exciting. And, you know, they have had some injuries. Brian Bulaga just had a surgery. You know, he's been on IR, and now it's basically indefinite. They don't know when he's back. Odeya Bushi tore his ACL last week, so he'll go on the IR. But they've had guys step up. Storm Norton has played well. And then the big three, like you said, and getting Matt Filer and then having Corey Linsley and Rashawn Slater have certainly helped. So it's been fun to see the maturity of the group, and then it helps too when you have a good quarterback to take some pressure off you as well. So that goes into it a lot as well.
Right. A few final thoughts for Ryan Dyrud of the LA Football Network, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I want to get to USC. You know, I have to tell you, they got waxed at home by Stanford, and that ended the Clay Helton era. Now they've lost their first three Pac-12 home games for the first time in 21 years. I've read a lot, heard a lot, and somebody said the danger is the fans have gone from angry to not caring. You're at the heartbeat. What's the pulse or the buzz with Trojan supporters right now during this really trying season?
Yeah, you know, it's just fed up. I think it's been a long time coming with this Clay Helton era where fans were boycotting anyway going to games, but then you'd still get them to trickle out because there's still that kind of glimmer of hope. And with Clay Helton's teams a lot of years, you get those few weeks where it's like, okay, they maybe turn the corner, then they lose a bad game. Well, now this year, it's like they just really can't get out of their own way. And I think, you know, you got to give hats off to Dante Williams. I know that he's kind of the scapegoat right now as being the interim head coach, but, you know, he was kind of given a tough straw when, you know, after week two, all of a sudden handed the keys and told him to turn the program around on the fly within 4 days. So, but yeah, I think fans at this point are kind of just, you know, they packed it in for the season. They're ready for next year. They really want to see what this organization, what this university, what, you know, Mike Bone, the AD, does in his coaching search. I know names every week keep coming out. And I think that's kind of where this fan base is, you know what, we're kind of over this season. We don't expect much of it. We're just kind of waiting to see what this new coaching hire. And then if the coaching hire is right, which I think there's some candidates that will draw a lot of excitement, then you'll see this fan base come back, you know, kick off next year in the right way. But I think this year's kind of, unfortunately, you hate to say it because it's only, what, six games in, but it's kind of a wash and fans are, you know, pretty much just over it and packing in for next year.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Dante Williams. He's the interim coach, and he was a Duck assistant. And,
yeah,
you know, I know the speculation gets crazy from Urban Meyer to Mario Cristobal up there, but is it logical to figure, look, they could kick around names all they want, but first the season has to play out and end, then they'll actually get a real list of potential candidates?
Oh, absolutely. And Dante Williams is on that list. I think, unfortunately, losing the well, the Stanford was under Clay Helton, but losing now two big home games under Dante Williams' tenure doesn't help. But I've said all along that he'll have a fair shake at this just because of how good he is at recruiting. And that's the reason why they brought him to USC in the first place. And you take the risk of, if you hire someone else, you lose him elsewhere. Because there's no guarantee he just comes back on another coaching staff. So he'll be on the list. But at the same time, like, he's just, you know, he's playing. He says every week in his press conferences and when we talk to him at practice that they're trying to just win the day. You know, they're not, once last week's over, it's over. And they're trying to get better each and every day. And he's a high character guy, high quality guy. You guys know how great he is at recruiting and what he means to programs. So he's just trying to get, you know, week in, and hopefully they'll have a good week this week and can bounce back from a tough loss at Utah. But he's a guy that I know that a lot of people like and are rooting for, specifically a lot of us here that cover him.
Yeah, by the way, no biggie when they're coming back. They have to go to South Bend, so that'll make things a lot easier. You know, lastly, we had a run-up here with Chip Kelly that included a national title appearance, Rose Bowl win, division titles, conference titles. Now he's at UCLA. It's been kind of rough the first 3 years. Then the win against LSU. Then they blew the Fresno State game. So, Ryan, how important was this season coming in for Kelly as far as job stability? Would making a bowl be enough, or do they really need to stay in that South picture?
Yeah, you know, I talk a lot. I think this season's everything. He used the first 3 years as kind of his building blocks to really build what he wanted to do, get the buy-in, and it, you know, it doesn't happen overnight in college football now anymore. It used to be a different 20 years ago when there was just a few top elite programs. Nowadays, everyone can recruit and everyone can play and everyone can coach. So it takes a little more time to build in doing that. And then you get new AD and Martin Jarman, who's been a fantastic AD down here in Westwood, and a lot of respect. And he's done a lot for this program already, but he's been high on Chip Kelly. And he's always spoken highly of him, but you know, he did want results. And I think if this year, you know, they can get to a bowl game, that might be enough, which I think they will do. I think they're a good enough team to do that. After that LSU game, though, and it was riding high, it was like, okay, here's the Chip Kelly era for the next decade. And then, as you mentioned, kind of came to a screeching halt against Fresno. But, you know, I think they've done enough good things that as long as they can finish on a high note, keep building wins, you know, keep in that Pac-12 South picture, that he'll have a really good shot to stay. Because I think Martin Jarman does believe in what he has done thus far. But if, you know, if the wheels fall off and they lose the next two or three, then I think we'll be having a very different conversation. But at this point, it's kind of Chip's job to lose, and as long as he can keep winning, I think he'll be back next year and probably get an extension.
All right, folks, he's Ryan Dyrud, founder of the LA Football Network. On Twitter, use at LAFB Network. His Twitter handle is at Ryan Dyrud, LAFB, part of the Outstanding Believe Podcast Network. Ryan, hey, great catching up. I really appreciate your time and your insight. Wishing you and yours well. And absolutely look forward to talking again down the road. Thanks a million.
Absolutely. It was an honor. Thanks so much for having me. And be well and stay safe and enjoy some football this weekend. All right.
Have a good one, Ryan. Take care.